This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Charch is with us, as he is every Thursday, in this spot, by the way. Charch is going to continue to be with us at 11, because Charch and I like to talk with one
another.
This goes longer, and this is easier for him, because he doesn't have a pop in the next segment. It's pretty much the only part of the day that he doesn't have a pop at 11:25. So Charch is with us, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, at Paul Charchian on Twitter. And, of course, the host of Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop 2 podcasts. You can get anywhere you get podcasts. Charch, number one on the planet with fantasy football info. But I do have to start with, I mean, you live in the Twin Cities. I live in D.C. And right now, the two most surprising teams in the NFL are the Vikings and our Washington football franchise.
Feels pretty good. I mean, we've earned this, haven't we, as fan bases? Yeah. Man, have we. You know, just all kinds of disappointment, but different levels of disappointment. Our disappointment is not regular season disappointment. It's playoff disappointment. Your disappointment is regular season disappointment. It's just great to have both teams chugging forward. And, you know, your division, honestly, looks far easier than the NFC North, which has four teams that are all above 500, and they all look like they're capable of going on, you know, extended winning streaks. Even Chicago, I'm going to give you the Chicago Bears schedule, because it's ridiculous, Kevin. Here it comes, Chicago. So here's what they've got. They just played Carolina. Now they get Jacksonville. Then they go on bye. Then they get your Commanders. That's turned into a tough out. Then they get the Cardinals and the Patriots.
Wow.
They could easily win, you know, four of those games. Three of those four games. So it's, you know, this thing's a grinder up here in the NFC North.
So real quickly on the Vikings, because we did get a chance to see him last Sunday morning, but, you know, pretty much every other game hasn't been, you know, a high-profile game.
No.
They're awesome defensively. Is there any concern? Obviously, they've got weapons offensively, but I don't know that they're as good offensively as they've been in recent years. Just tell me about the team. Is it all defensive-led?
The defense has been unbelievably good. Yeah, Brian Flores is a wizard, and there's going to be some offseason talk about him as being a head coach, but I just think he might be one of those guys who's just like better as a defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. Let me give you some, if you don't mind, if I just do a stat dump on you for about 15 seconds. Here's where the Vikings defense ranks in some key metrics. Yards per play, fifth. Yards per rush, second. Run defense success rate, fourth. Rushing touchdowns allowed, first. Rushing yards before contact, first. Missed tackles, second. Interceptions, first. Third down conversion rate, fifth. Opposing passer rating, second. Sacks, they're second. That's the Vikings defense right now. It's awesome against the run, the pass. They're creating big plays. It's confounding opposing defenses, and you hear these quarterbacks after each Vikings game, and they're talking like, I had no idea what was coming.
Yeah, I mean, look, Houston's been awesome, except for in one game. They were completely shut down by the Vikings. I mean, could not do anything offensively. Are they good enough offensively, Minnesota, to make a super deep run this year?
Well, okay. So let's assume Sam Darnold doesn't keep playing at MVP level, and let's assume he goes down to like tier two level quarterbacking. You've got Justin Jefferson. TJ Hockenson is going to return after this bye in some capacity. Probably, you know, it'll be little bits at a time, but within 3 weeks, he might be up to full speed on his torn ACL from last year. Then Jordan Addison, finally healthy. Jalen Naylor's been a factor. Aaron Jones has got a hip injury. We don't know how serious that is, but that could be a sizable derailer here if he's going to be out for a while. We don't know yet. But, man, I mean, just Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, there's a lot of talented guys that can break open defenses. So, you know, if you're going to give me a top five defense and a top 10 offense, that's a formula for a lot of wins.
All right, let's talk some fantasy. Where's Jaden Daniels on your quarterback rankings for week six?
I've been back and forth with him as number one and number two with Lamar Jackson, the team he's playing against. And so here's the thing. We all think about the Washington secondaries being, you know, awful, and Lamar Jackson should automatically get, you know, be the higher rated of the two. But I don't know that that's the case right now. The Ravens objectively are a worse secondary than Washington, which feels weird to even say it. They rank dead last in passing yards allowed. Your team has now moved up to 14th in yards allowed. Your team's allowed more touchdown passes, but that's because in week three, they allowed 9 touchdowns. The past 2 weeks, you held Kyler Murray in check. Sean Watson, you held him in check, which you should do, but 125 yards against any quarterback in this league is a huge win. And by the way, your Commanders didn't let Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson run all over the field against them, which was nice as well. So, you know, Ravens are normally a great secondary. They got Kyle Hamilton, one of the best safeties in the league, Marlon Humphrey, normally very good players. Those guys have allowed 4 passing touchdowns already. So as weird as it sounds, the worst secondary on paper looks like it's actually the Ravens and not the Commanders. And who'd have guessed that would ever be the case?
So you'd lean Daniels?
I'm leaning Daniels right now. I need to work up the guts to do it, but I'm leaning Daniels right now. And man, do I love McLaurin in this game.
Oh, I was going to ask you. I would assume, based on what you just said, that Terry's ranked pretty high among wide receivers this week.
He is. Just specific to the wideout position, Baltimore ranks 29th in wideout yards allowed and 31st in wideout touchdowns allowed. I love the fact that McLaurin, these last 3 games, when they've let Jaden Daniels air out the ball, which has been a huge change for him, and a successful one, Terry McLaurin's had 100 yards scored or both in all 3 of these last 3 games. So love him. And Zach Ertz, by the way, sitting on potentially a gigantic game. Do you mind if I just break him down for a second?
Please.
Is it too nerdy? It's not
no.
too nerdy? Okay. Cool. Then let's do it. Hold on. I've got my Zach Ertz notes coming right now. Right here. Where? There we go. Okay. Ertz, ERTZ. Here we go. Zach Ertz. So Baltimore, in tight end receptions allowed, ranks 31st. They're giving up 74 tight end yards per game. That's a gigantic number for tight ends. And if you're a better, the Zach Ertz over-under line is 25 yards. This team's
given up 74
per game.
Well, didn't Brock Bowers have a monster game against the Ravens?
I can answer that very quickly. I think he did. I think it was like an 8-catch game, which would make some sense. Here's what your Ravens have given up against tight ends so far, big games. Jake Ferguson, 95 yards. Brock Bowers, 98 yards.
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid had 47. So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Nice opportunity.
All right. I've got a personal question here because I've got Rashid Shaheed as a wide receiver, and it's been nice for, you know, certainly early in the season. He's banged up, but beyond that, Derek Carr is not going to be the starting quarterback. So I would assume you'd want me to take him out. And the choices here are Keon Coleman, Josh Reynolds, Gabe Davis.
I'd actually keep him in. So Spencer Rattler is going to be your starter, and I love that they went to him. His story is pretty fascinating. He was the highest recruited quarterback when he came out of high school. He had offers to go basically wherever he wanted. He chose Oklahoma, started there for a while, and eventually got benched for Caleb Williams, who ended up being pretty darn good. And then sort of ignominiously, Rattler goes off to South Carolina, where I think a lot of guys would have withered and died at that point. Mm-hmm. But despite a horrible supporting cast, especially offensive line, Rattler was just out there just playing gallantly, honestly, with no help around him. I was trying to find, as I was prepping for Spencer Rattler coming into the draft, I'm trying to find plays with a clean pocket, and you get like two a game. The dude was just getting murdered back there. He's got an NFL caliber arm and a big arm, and Rashid Shaheed, back to your guy, is arguably the league's best deep ball threat. And I think Rattler's going to just uncork a few deep bombs to Rashid Shaheed in this game, and he's got a good opportunity. Tampa's getting crushed against the pass, although they might get their safety, Antoine Winfield, back, which would help. But Tampa's getting murdered through the air right now. So, yeah, I actually like Rashid. I'd bench Olave. I'd start Rashid Shaheed if you don't have better options, and you don't. Gabe Davis does not belong on a roster.
I know. I had to add him. I've had a bunch of injuries. I had Nacua and a couple of others that got knocked out. What about Kmet or Pitts?
The whole Pitts thing, man. As soon as you write him off, he shows up with a decent game, and then you're back like, oh, well, maybe we'll go there. Now, what I like about Kmet, in addition to the easy Bears schedule that I told you about, he started this season sharing time with Gerald Everett, and then in the last 3 weeks, Everett's just gone to the bench, and it's all Cole Kmet. So I've got Kmet, and I'm taking a quick look at my rankings, which you can get, by the way, at fantasyluck.com. We encourage you to go there for my my player rankings every week. I've got Pitts at tight end 7 going up against Carolina, which is a lot of it, right? And then I've got Kmet at tight end 13.
All right. We're talking to Charch, of course. Any expectations for Drake May on this pitiful New England offensive football team?
You could feel the pressure mounting on the Patriots, right? Their season spiraling away. And here, the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, has made major strides the last 2 weeks. The second overall pick, Jaden Daniels, looks amazing. He's in the MVP conversation. And then there's the third overall pick who's not playing. And so you can see why this franchise, which is just thirsty for NFL average level quarterbacking, which they haven't had since Tom Brady left, and then they make this dumb, short-sighted decision to put in Drake May with an offensive line that has four guys in injured reserve and another one on the exempt list. New England ranks dead last in ESPN's pass block win rate, and the Patriots have the least productive set of wide receivers in the league. The Patriots' wide receivers rank dead last in wide receiver yardage. So here's Drake May. Kevin, he's going into the harshest possible trial by fire. What is hotter than fire? It's worse than fire. He's getting jettisoned. They're jettisoning Drake May into the sun.
It seems I hate like it. The worst possible spot for a guy that everybody said was going to need time to begin with.
Absolutely. If I'm Robert Kraft, I would not allow this to happen. I would just like put my foot down. Go, I don't care how many losses we take. We're not going to make the playoffs anyway. They're currently sitting on the number one seed if the draft were held today. I would just be like, no, too bad. We're saving him for next year, and we're not going to potentially wreck our number three overall pick this year, which is possible that that's what they're going to do. It's just not everybody's has the situation to drop into that Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams had. Hate it.
Real quickly, Tank Bigsby in Jacksonville, big game. That was a hell of a football game, by the way, back and forth.
It was great.
But is he kind of on the cusp of being a star in this league, yes or no?
I think he is. I love this guy. And objectively, he's a better runner right now than Jacksonville starter Travis Etienne. Tank runs with power. He runs with speed. He's punishing defenders. When I watch Tank Bigsby run, Kevin, I get so excited I start involuntarily lactating.
We don't want
his ranks.
Gets messy.
Let me give you. It's messy, and it frankly a little embarrassing. And it's hard to get those stains out in the wash. It's a lot of protein in there. Let me do a little stat dump on Tank Bigsby for you. He's got 34 carries so far this year. Here's where Tank Bigsby ranks among the entire NFL among all players with his 34 carries. Yards per carry, Tank Bigsby, number one. Avoided tackle rate, Tank Bigsby, number one.
Yeah.
Yards after contact, Tank Bigsby, number one. And lastly, rushing yards over expectation per carry, Tank Bigsby, number one. And, you know, NFL teams are slow sometimes to get to make big changes at key positions like running back. And one of the reasons at running back is pass protection. Travis Etienne ranks second from the bottom in Pro Football Focus's pass protection grade at running back. This thing could flip to Tank Bigsby as your starter quickly, maybe even this week.
Yeah, I wonder if that team, you know, so desperate in need of a win, and they barely got one. I wonder if they're capable on Sunday against Chicago and London. I think they are, actually. I really do. You know, I wanted to ask you about tonight. So, you know, Geno Smith is my starting fantasy quarterback, and I've got Jordan Mason. I'm not benching either one of those two, right?
No.
You wouldn't.
Nope.
I mean, Mahomes is on a bye week, so he's the other one. But how do you see the matchup tonight? And should I feel comfortable? Like, you and I talked about Geno Smith last week. And look, you know what happened Sunday against the Giants? Because I went back and watched the condensed replay. And this is actually something pretty interesting for Washington fans to kind of understand. You know, the Giants' defense is pretty good, and it is excellent against the run. They really shut down Seattle's run attack, including Kenneth Walker. They pretty much shut down any Dallas run, and they don't run the football much. The Giants are actually kind of an interesting team defensively. That's another subject. But what do you make of tonight's matchup? You know, Geno Smith against the 49er defense, and it is desperation time. Though it's week six, but the 49ers need this game.
They do. I mean, I don't think anybody thought they'd be a two-win operation rolling into week six. It feels like that team does have some desperation to them. And Geno's played well so far. Now, generally not against – the schedule's been pretty favorable, but Geno's played well. Now, his history against San Francisco's awful. Three games against San Francisco, he's averaged 205 yards, and he's only thrown one touchdown.
Well, in that playoff game that they had in San Francisco, they lost that game, but didn't he play pretty well in that playoff game?
Not by box score, no. And okay. I don't remember enough to tell you for sure, the rest of his game, but it was not pretty. And from box score standpoint, he didn't throw the game away. He had either zero or one interception in the game, but he didn't give the game away to his credit. And as usual, the San Francisco pass defense is good. Three opposing quarterbacks out of the five they faced have failed to top 195 yards. Only Sam Darnold topped one passing touchdown against San Francisco. So this is a tough matchup. And there is one matchup, and this, again, I love that I can get this nerdy with you, and so just work with me for a second. DK Metcalf is such a special guy. Normally, basically nobody can match up evenly with him very well, but the biggest cornerback in the league is San Francisco's Isaac Yadam. He's 232 pounds. He's 6'1". I mean, no cornerbacks are this size. So this is like the rare matchup with a really physical cornerback against DK Metcalf, and that'll be a fascinating matchup to watch.
Yeah, this is actually kind of an underrated, massive game early in the season in the NFC West. I mean, the 49ers, that's a bad loss last week against the Cardinals, especially considering they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at home. Now they're going on the road. You know, Seattle's lost two in a row. That Giant game was a little bit of a setup because they had the short rest and the Giants had the extra long rest. We know how that, massive difference in rest typically shakes out. I'm just curious as to how you see this game, and if the 49ers lose it, what does that mean for them in the NFC?
I wouldn't say the door gets closed on them. It's too early for that, and they're too good. But what's really the thing that's really hurt San Francisco, their touchdown efficiency is terrible. In the red zone, I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think the last 15 trips into the red zone has yielded four touchdowns. They've got to be able to punch those in and turn those trips into touchdowns, and they haven't been able to do it yet. Not the fault of Jordan Mason, who's been great on the ground. He's averaging effectively the same yards per carry that Christian McCaffrey has, but he doesn't catch. And that's, defenses don't even have to really defend that. He's one catch a game on average 11 yards. And so that's, you know, Mason tonight, it should be sitting on a big game. This has been a really yielding Seattle run defense that just got tipped upside down by Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked, you know, we didn't know that Tyrone Tracy could be a bell cow back, but he was against Seattle. We're going to see a lot of Jordan Mason tonight.
Yeah, and Mason had a huge fumble in the game on Sunday, which led ultimately to Arizona taking the lead on a field goal. This game tonight is a big game. I mean, I'm going to be really interested because I think, and I'm pulling it up right now, but I think the 49ers have the Chiefs next week. I think next week is the Super Bowl rematch.
They got
the Chiefs next week. They got the Cowboys the week after that. Then they're at Tampa, then they're at Seattle, then they're at Green Bay, then they're at Buffalo. I mean, you know, I still think healthy they're the best team in the NFC. But if you're sitting there at 3-6 or 4-6, you know, you can still make a run late in the season. But, I mean, even later in the year, they play the Lions. It's a brutal, you know, slate ahead if those teams are healthy when they get there. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, since just one last thing in this game.
Yeah.
Tonight, Kenneth Walker's freaking awesome. And he's nobody great. Ever talks about him in the elite tier of running backs. He is great. He's played three healthy games this year. Week one, 103 yards and a touchdown. Then his second game, he scores three times against a Lions run defense that entered the game as the best in the league. Then last week, I thought this was fascinating. You talked about the Giants' run defense was good. They bottle up Kenneth Walker early in that game, and then Seattle's offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, says, oh, yeah, I'm going to throw to him eight times. That's how much he likes Kenneth Walker, that you start manufacturing ways to get the ball to Kenneth Walker through the air when the running game's not going. That is the actions of a coach who insists that Kenneth Walker gets the ball in his hands. And last thing I'll mention in Kenneth Walker, in addition to him averaging 5.5 yards per carry, which is sick, among players with his 37 rushing attempts, he ranks number one in broken tackle rate at 43% of his carries are featuring a broken tackle.
I love him. Love him. I mean, I loved him at Michigan State, but he has been, you know, he's just had some health issues, missed some games this year, the game he had against Detroit, that somersault from the ground on top of the defender is one of the greatest athletic feats I've ever seen a running back perform in a game.
Unbelievable. It is. It's one of the great broken tackles of all time, right?
Yeah.
And rolling, backflipping over a guy, rolling over the top of him, get up, keep running. Unreal. That was.
All right, who do you like, Baltimore or Washington Sunday? We're in the game
really
of the week, Charch.
It's been a long time since we've been the game of the week. It is the game of the week. I've just started breaking down the game from a fantasy standpoint. I hadn't been thinking yet. I'm only halfway through my breakdown, and I haven't done the Baltimore side yet. I'm going to go, because the Ravens' run defense is the best in the league, I'm going to pick the Ravens here because I don't know that, you know, your running backs are all beat up. Robinson, I don't even know if he's going to play, right? He's got this knee injury that he's still dealing with. I hope so. The Ravens ranked number one in rushing yards allowed. They ranked number one in yards per carry. They're number two in run defense success rate. And so I'm worried that your team's going to be one-dimensional enough that Baltimore's going to find a way to win when they know that the running game is not going to be a factor, at least not through the running backs. It might require Jaden Daniels to pick up the slack on the ground. So I'm going to lean Ravens on this, but it's the best game on the schedule. Can't wait.
Yep. All right. Good luck all weekend long. I'll talk to you. Real quickly, what did Jonathan Taylor go for? Can you tell me real quickly? Cause my offer wasn't good enough.
What did you bid on Jonathan Taylor? Who was 200? And the funny thing is he's injured, right?
I
so
know.
There was, you know, and so it's like, well, how much should I really bid on him? I'm not sure. He went for 220.
Ugh. I need another money. I've got two running backs on my roster, Jordan Mason and Chase Brown. And they both produced. But man, that would have been big for me. All right.
That would have been really helpful.
Week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Bye, my man.
Paul Charchian, everybody, at Paul Charchian, C-H-A-R-C-H-I-A-N, on X, on Twitter. His podcast, which you can listen to wherever you want to, Fantasy Football Weekly, and CHOP. We'll do some Denton news when we come back, and then our NFL Power Rank.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.